Hello and welcome to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. My distinguished guest on this episode, we call it MVP, The Master's Voice podcast, and MVP actually is an acronym that I've borrowed from American sports parlance, which is most valuable player. And The Master's Voice is about the most valuable players and professionals in the media marketing advertising space, whom I invite to The Master's Voice podcast here on MediaBrief.com. And I'm delighted that a good friend and an amazing professional, a prominent name in the radio industry, is my guest on this episode of The Master's Voice. Please join me in welcoming Nisha Narayanan, the COO and director at Red FM and Magic FM. Nisha, welcome to the episode.
Thank you, Pavan. It's a pleasure to be here at MVP and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Wonderful, as am I and as I'm sure are all my listeners. So, Nisha, I'd like to thank you for your time in the middle of a working day. And thanks also to Priyanka Kumar in your PR team who's made this engagement possible. So, thank you very much indeed. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't know much about you or does not actually know anything about you, but there might be some young professionals starting out, okay? And, you know, for them to appreciate that, okay, this is the kind of person I am listening to, I do a tiny little introduction of my distinguished guests. So, by your leave, here goes. My distinguished guest on this episode of The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com, is Nisha Narayanan, COO and director at Red FM and Magic FM. Nisha has been instrumental in launching Red Indies, which features non-film music as a part of Red on-air content and has focused on creating brands out of raw talent. It was her vision to make Red FM accessible to its audiences across various touch points, which gave birth to multiple IPRs under the aegis of Red FM. IPRs like the very successful Red Live, Red Digital, and Red Indies that I just mentioned, amongst others, many others. During her tenure as Senior Vice President for Programming and Marketing, Nisha spearheaded the setting up of radio stations across markets in the country, making Red FM one of the largest radio networks with 68 stations. And she's won several prestigious awards. Let me just list out a very few of them. She won at the Dada Saheb Phalke International Film Festival, and the award she won there was Business Leader of the Year in Entertainment. Don Rowland's Prize for Excellence, that was a coveted award too. The Most Enterprising Leaders of Asia at WCRC, the Impact 50 Most Influential Women Award, and India's Greatest COO, India's Greatest Brands and Leaders. Nisha is not only amongst the most well-known names and faces across the FM radio subsector and the media space, but is also one of the most wonderful enablers and empowerers of FM radio in India. Right, so let's get on to the business end of our conversation. Nisha, there's something about radio which will be sort of typified or exemplified with your entry into it and the way you've stayed and loved and nourished and cherished it, right? And nurtured it, most important. And it'll also inspire a lot of people. We started this RJs We Like series and we've asked RJs, how did you get into it and did you always plan on it? No, I didn't plan. Most of them are saying I stumbled into it. So how did you, Nisha, my friend, stumble into radio and just tell us a quick, give us a quick recap, share how you entered radio and why you've stayed here, and I'm glad you have, for so long.
No, I think long before when I was studying, I was in college and I was preparing for my exams, and on All India Radio at that time, there was this audition. There was an announcement for auditions and I was so bored with that economics exam that I was preparing for, that I applied. And I got shortlisted, I got selected, and that's how the journey happened. And I mean, we don't come from a media background, so I had no clue what I was entering into. But then I really enjoyed the medium, the power of audio, the power of radio. And that became a hobby. And as it went by, this became a hobby turned into a profession. Of course, I'm a trained journalist, I'm part of the news and current affairs space. I've been part of PR teams. I've worked very extensively with PR as well. And being a documentary filmmaker as well. But my calling has always been radio. So I went to television, but then I came back to radio, and I've been here for a while now. So that's as quickly as I can put the whole journey.
Wonderful. A while is how many years?
Now coming back to radio, I think all put together probably should be when I came back. About 20 years now. About 20 years now.
Wow.
It's my first amazing love, Pawan. I think very clearly radio is my first love. And I think unfortunately in this country, we don't utilize the power of radio as we should. As an industry, as policymakers, I don't think we truly tap the potential of radio, which is unfortunate. Yeah. But I'm here to fight for the cause of the power of audio, really, than anything else.
Wonderful. More strength to you, Nisha. And we'll talk about some of the problems that radio does face as an industry, and about listenership measurement, and how one brand, I won't ask you to name it, I know which one it was. Actually, it wasn't Red FM, of course, but it actually scuttled measurements which were about to get into and underway in the radio space. But we won't go there, okay? Let's talk about all the positives, and you are always brimming with them. Right, Nisha, since we're talking about the positives first, tell me, you know, Red FM has done a lot and it's grown, like I mentioned, in just one statement, one sentence. You helped it grow to 68 stations, right? Ever since you've come in, and all these wonderful IPs and IPRs that you have created. And you're huge into, I think, NTR, also non-traditional revenue. And you have really tried, and you're working hard to bring the amazing wider kind of power of audio, which doesn't have to necessarily be limited to music, right? So, you know, the performance and everything else. So radio really is a theater of the mind, and you have gone and actually created a lot of wonderful IPs there. So just tell me, you know, ever since you came in, how you nurtured Red FM and how it's grown over the years.
I don't think the credit of Red FM goes to me at all. It's for the team.
Yep, of course. I
am very proud of leading a team that is aggressive, that is creative, that who doesn't take a no for an answer, who will still try to really work around ideas which get rejected and come up with better ideas so that I finally say yes. So the credit of what Red FM today stands for is for the team. And I'm very proud of the team, and I'm very proud to lead that team, and I'm nobody without that team. Having said that, I think over the last many years, in the journey after setting up the stations, etc., the last 5-6 years, we've actually been focusing on the business of audio and content creation than really just radio. So it's no more just radio, it's audio. So hence we've moved to podcasts. We are very, very aggressively pursuing and creating content on podcasts. We've been doing a lot of events. We've been doing a lot of on-ground initiatives, a lot of on-ground activities. We've been in the spaces of building in festivals, regional festivals. I truly also believe that there's a huge power in the power of regional. And we've been focusing on that. And radio as a medium, which is a 68 station network, we have local presence in each of these cities. So we understand the pulse of the city. We understand it a lot better. So therefore, not just festivals which are national in nature, but we've also been focusing on regional festivals. Festivals which are, for example, we just completed the Marathi Film Festival, which is focusing on the Marathi movie industry. At the same time, we were doing the Gujarati Mobile movie project, which is to make short films in Gujarati on the mobile phone in Gujarat. Poila Vaishakh is coming in, so there's something which is happening, which is an on-ground festival where it's a Poila Baithak. We call it the Poila Baithak, which is where we're getting bowl singers, which are folk artists from Shantiniketan, to come and perform there. And we're supporting folk music there. Independent music, as in the long flattering introduction that you gave about me, I'm saying yes, independent music is something that we've been supporting very aggressively. At one point, say 100% of our music was Bollywood. Today, I'm very proud to say that 35 to 40% of our music is independent music. And the advantage of independent music is that it's fresh, it's experimental, it's not very cookie cutter kind of music programming, and it's a lot of new voices also that come into the independent space. Also, the whole journey of rap and hip hop and newer styles of music is also picking up. Now, all of this music brings in a certain freshness to the medium itself when you start playing that. So all these initiatives have been happening, and of course, digital is one animal we cannot ignore. It's only growing and growing and growing. So digital is part of every single component that we create, whether it is on-ground festivals, whether it is podcasts, whether it is the on-air initiatives or content, special initiatives like the Audiophone project with Vikram Bhatt, which is about storytelling. All of that also gets transferred onto the digital platform. So that's been the ecosystem that we've been working in. And yes, I think we just need to kind of pick up pace a lot more than where we are. We've already picked up our pace and we're pretty fast, but I think at Red FM, there's just so much to do, Pavan. I'm saying that, you know, in some market, in the Northeast, for instance, there's so much of talent and there's so much that can be done there. Kashmir, we're there in Jammu and Srinagar and a lot of initiatives there. So the beauty of radio clearly is that at one point, at a single time, there's so much happening at the same time in different parts of the country. And the idea is to mobilize it through content, through festivals, through digital, through podcasts, through experiences. The whole idea is about creating experiences, whether through its audio, whether it's through on ground. So yeah, so that's I don't know if I've been able to articulate it in a nutshell, but yes, that's what we've been doing.
And that's a lot that you've been doing. So yeah.
Of course.
And are you always so self-effacing? I read about only 8 or 10 lines about you, and you said in the flattering introduction that you gave, Pavan, it wasn't flattery. So yeah, you can learn to take a bow, Nisha.
No, it's a team, Pavan. I think.
I know. I totally respect that. But a team is as good as its leader, and a leader is only as good as its team.
Thank you.
No, really. I mean, come on. So Nisha, you are evangelizing audio, you are democratizing it, you're getting in more and more IPs and looking at the entire effervescence of this big bouquet that audio has now become thanks to you on Red FM, okay, on its linear and digital offerings across. I'm wondering, you know, NTR, I know how linear radio gets its money and makes its money, right? What is the business model for NTR and especially on digital? You know, what you're doing is amazing. You are actually evangelizing the whole thing, but how easy or difficult is it for NTR? Will it take a little more time for it to start making more money? Do you think, because you are at the head of the curve, you're actually helping create the category on radio?
Well, I'm just saying that initially, of course, long when all of us started as the radio community, there was 100% focus on FCT and ad spots and advertisements, right?
Sure.
For Red, we've been really focusing on the non-traditional revenue as well. And we clearly want to have the NTR being at least 40% of our overall revenue so that we've not put all our eggs in one basket, particularly at a business level. So that no matter what economic slowdown or what catastrophe hits the economy, right, we're still not putting all our eggs in one basket in terms of making it an advertising driven model. And we have multiple platforms that we have already created that generates revenue for the company. So that's one part said. The other part is that very clearly, while there has been a struggle to increase the rates on FCT business, especially over the last 2 years, because all of us as a community, radio community, reduced our rates. Now bringing it back into its earlier pre-COVID levels is challenging. But that being said, the non-traditional revenue space for us has grown more than 100% year on year.
Wow.
Right? And I think
that's amazing.
Yes. So the potential of the collective potential of generating revenue and premium monies through events, through experiences, through content monetization, through digital, through social media, through influencer marketing, all of that put together, I think is very high. And we need to look at it like that, and we need to approach the business not in a unilateral way of looking only at FCT business. And there is true power in bringing Red into the premium business space, into the non-traditional revenue space. And I say this with experience because we've seen good results there. And I'm only convinced that the next 2 years is going to be extremely critical for the radio industry and for Red FM, for us to really go very, very aggressive on the non-traditional business.
Wonderful. Lots of insights over there, Nisha. and in fact a lot of reassurance for everybody in radio who might be contemplating, okay, how do I sort of go wider and beyond the FCT traditional selling kind of business?
I must bring this, sorry to cut you short, but I must say this, that you know, there are conversations saying radio may not survive, radio is dead and gone, nobody listens to radio, etc, etc. I say this, that you know, 2023, radio will complete close to about 100 years in this country. And FM technology and the radio licenses are not going anywhere. We are here, we are going to stay. The challenge that we really need to ask ourselves is that, how do we really make this relevant? How do we make ourselves, or radio and audio and each brand, right? And here in this case, Red FM, how do we make it relevant to the youth of this country? How is it that we can provide experiences? So that is the only challenge, but radio is here to stay. It's fashionable to say it's only digital. But no, there are every medium, whether it is print, whether it is television, whether it is radio, each medium comes with its own power. And it is extremely important for decision makers to do a combination of each of these mediums to reach the right audience. And radio gives you that last mile reach, which nobody can. Nobody can.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's in the back of beyond. It's the free medium.
I'll tell you another example. As we're talking on this, I'll tell you another thing. For example, when it comes to music, right?
Yeah.
While a lot of new music is put out there on the OTT platforms, the audio labels still have very aggressive conversations with Red FM on supporting their music on the radio channel. There must be some reason why we do that and why they do that. Because it's effective.
Absolutely.
Because when that artist goes out on stage to sing a song, and that new song, the audience in front of him recognizes that song and sings along because it's been played on the radio. So radio brings in familiarity.
Sure, absolutely.
Right? And we cannot compete with the number of views and X million views on the OTT platform. We cannot. But what we can offer is familiarity, and that's what we have to give. And that power is something we should never be underestimated.
Not at all. In fact, yes, you do empower audiences. You do empower players, especially performers. You know, one more thing is that radio always was the sole mainstay, perhaps, even of movie marketers when, you know, feet were on the ground and the lockdown wasn't around, because every movie producer would rush to every radio station and say, please, please play my song so that people are aware of it. And on day one, I drive the maximum footfalls to the theaters and cinema halls only through radio play.
I say this jokingly, but I say this and I'm happy to take it up as a challenge, saying that if there is an exclusive song, or rather there are two songs, give one OTT player the song exclusively and give us the song exclusively, and let us see the second one, and let's see who makes it a hit, and give us 15 days. That's it. So I'm just saying that I'm happy to take that up as a challenge. Though I say it jokingly, but I mean it, Pavan. I think here's a maverick who's sitting and believing in the power of radio, who's believing in the fact that radio, all it requires a few tweaks in the policy.
Yep.
To give it a level playing field with any other platform in the industry. And otherwise the medium is extremely strong. Man Ki Baat is a classic example of how powerful it is and how it reaches to 60% or more than 60% of the population in this country. Right? And that is what radio can deliver if planned well.
Not just a maverick, I'm talking to a feisty maverick. More strength to you, Nisha. And we'll talk about policy and what you referred to just now, a few changes here and there, some support, and radio is right there. I mean, in fact, if you ask me, Nisha, it's just my view, you're not saying it. I always wonder, you know, radio is such a wonderful medium, struggles at 4 to 5% of the addicts. DSL again is, you know, a problem. That's because of the content restrictions that are placed on radio all over the place. And also measurements which are only in 4 little cities. Sure, they are the big metropolises. But, you know, ultimately radio is forced to sell itself on perception. So, a lot of things, the Copyright Act, the license fees, and just tell me, you know, you being someone who is immersed in radio, who's been right at the forefront of it, the DAVP doesn't pay it in time, doesn't give too many ads, so much of outstandings everywhere. These are my thoughts, okay? So, I'm just asking you for your views, okay? I wonder why the government doesn't realize that radio is the only medium that can take every message to the back of Beyond across the country. I mean, you have to win a lot more elections, right? Please help and empower radio and get your messages across. Not that radio guys will do it if you help them. It's just that radio needs to be strong. That what I just said was a bit of a joke. But otherwise on the policy, what is your view? Tell me, what are the important must-do things?
The Indian Telegraph Act of 1885 is what rules radio even today. Marconi, who invented radio, was only 11 years old then, right? So we are governed by very old, archaic, draconian laws still. And all we say is that we need to have a policy that needs to make it a level playing field.
Right.
Which also means that to begin with, I'm just saying, let's not have huge license fees. Because it becomes a very monopolistic industry. There are very few players who would want to enter the industry and survive, and that too bigger media houses only. And not a smaller player who would want to get it because it is in his area of operations.
Right.
Or at a state level or at a city level. A company would not want to come into the radio industry because of these huge license fees. So I think moderation of the license fee and not really going through the auction process is a fundamental issue, and that is something which will have to be looked upon at some point or the other. If you look at international markets, there are about some of the smaller towns, they have about 20, 25 frequencies. We are still on the 9 or 10 odd frequencies, and all of us still, to a large degree, still sound similar, right? So there is a concern. So if we need to bring in content change, if we need to have one devotional channel on the radio, on FM, we need to have one sports channel with only commentary, we need to have another channel which is only meant for kids, right? And we need to have something only, even in the youth, there could be such different categories of content that you can have, which is 100% niche category. If we need to bring in more variety in the content, we also need to have a policy change in itself. So internationally, a beauty contest method is what is followed, where licenses are allotted on the basis of the content that they are planning to launch. And therefore, some of them may be more expensive, some of them may be
less
affordable, which allows more and more players to come in. Today, there are a lot of companies who are struggling to be in the radio because of multiple concerns and because of multiple expenses. Bigger networks like us as Red FM, economies of scale work.
Yeah.
And because economies of scale work, we survive. I mean, we do have a larger footprint, so we can easily capture both the national clientele as well as the local clientele, right? Which unfortunately some smaller players are unable to do. So this requires a policy change. Another major change I do feel is that when the whole world is talking about news and current affairs, we find it extremely unfair that news is not allowed on the radio.
Absolutely.
And I think it is mandatory, it is imperative, it only brings in more knowledge to the listener the moment we allow news on the radio.
Sure.
And too much of regulation on radio is not really a good thing. So there are multiple issues, Pavan, I mean, you know, which we can really talk about, but two fundamental problems. One is that of a survival issue, which is the license fee, which is phenomenally high.
Yeah.
And therefore a lot of them want to either surrender or shut down their radio stations because it's becoming even more difficult to survive.
Sure.
And the other issue is to allow something like news and current affairs on the radio. Just to address one concern which the government of India raised, which is news on the border and sensitive areas, maybe don't allow news there. You may want to use it in the mainland. You can avoid border and sensitive areas. So there are ways and means of doing it.
Yeah.
And you can have a news broadcast rule book.
Sure.
And anybody deviating from that can have severe penalty.
Absolutely.
So that consideration needs to be looked into. And I'm saying it. It's required, and it's high time that's considered. But we still are very relevant. We're still local, and we are able to mobilize the local content far more effectively. Keeping all of this in mind, I only think that some of these changes, the moment that happens, I think it's good for the industry. The industry will be able to take more risks and take up more challenges to make the business forward than to deviate from the radio business and move into other businesses and just keeping the brand alive.
Absolutely. There are two other things that are, I think, sort of hitting out at radio or sort of cutting a bit of its reach or the OTL opportunity to listen for people. One is actually increased the OTL and has taken away the RJ's jobs in terms of the streaming platforms. Just pushing out music, you choose and then you go on with it and that's about it.
Can I interrupt you? Radio is not just about the music, Pavan. It is about information, it is about knowledge, it is about the RJs who are not there on the OTT platform.
You're preaching to right? the choir. Let me tell you that I am the biggest fan of the RJs and I think that there is nothing, absolutely nothing that can compare to the human element that gives you that beautiful emotional connect, which is the RJs and the teams behind them, right? Yeah.
But having said that, I'm not saying it's one or the other or one against the other.
Yep.
It is coexistence that I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that whether radio is better than an OTT platform. The experiences of both these platforms are wonderful. And they have different experiences.
One comes
with RJs, one comes with the surprise element to it. One is able to localize it.
Absolutely.
FM is able to localize it. So somebody who's sitting in Rajahmundry, somebody who's sitting in Jabalpur, somebody who's sitting in Srinagar or Leh, we're about to launch Leh, by the way,
wow,
in some time. That would be our last station of the network. I'm saying we will be able to personalize it.
Wonderful.
But
of course.
But that's something which maybe an OTT platform will not be able to do. An RJ is able to speak to you in your local language. And talk about the little road that has come up recently, right? Which maybe an OTT platform may be able to do. So there are advantages of the radio as well.
Absolutely. You know something? It was absolutely not a comparison of radio versus streaming platforms. Streaming platforms are machines and AI, ML just throwing stuff at you because of what you chose the last time round. And you have your own lists and then you know what's the next song on the list. Where the hell is the element of surprise? And the most beautiful, the most empowering, the most wonderful strength of radio, which is the human element, the RJ Connect, is not there. So it wasn't a comparison. All I was saying was, look at the new, the pitch, okay, the business pitch or the space in India, audio and music consumption. There are streaming platforms today. And then if you look at all the mid to high end mobile phones, the radio app, which used to be kind of, you know, an OEM thing years ago, decades ago, is not there. And believe me, very often, I just want to have radio on my mobile. It's a bit of a high-end mobile, but I don't have the app, right? I want to listen to RJ Disha in the south. I want to listen to Ronak in the north. I want to listen to all your other RJs in all the other cities, right? Across the country. Because I know about them, I hear about them. But then the only thing I can really watch them do is on digital, and thank God for digital, because you can experience them. But what I'm saying is that the fact that radio apps are not embedded now on high-end phones, and the streaming platforms are also kind of cutting into it. But I'm glad that you know, your vision on the digital space and expanding stuff and just being far more relevant and effervescent out there with lots and lots of kind of content will help. So lots of things to do, and you mentioned two very important ones, which absolutely point taken. And I hope that they can come in and we can have a much better playing field for radio, right? So the license fees to go low and news and current affairs allowed everywhere, and all the RJs and radio stations and networks. I only see empathy. I only see sensitivity in the way they talk to their listeners and they speak about what's happening, right? So
yeah, so that's from the policymaker's end. But from our end, as an industry, Pavan, I think all of us, most often and more often than not, we have to admit sometimes we don't see eye to eye with each other. But I think the industry needs to come in as a community together, and we need to bring in a measurement system. A collective measurement system is imperative for the industry, so that you know where to place your money, right? And unfortunately, because these measurement modules have been so expensive, because of the vast number of radio stations that is present in the country, it becomes a very expensive proposition. And that is the solution we've not been really able to arrive at, either as an industry on its own or through, you know, in collaboration with the government of India. Either way, we've not been able to come up with a measurement system, but that is something which is absolutely required. And unfortunately today, the measurement system for radio today is taken from IRS, which is the Indian readership
system. Readership
which is meant
measuring
for print.
Listenership.
Readership cannot really measure the listenership, right? Yeah. So I think it's imperative. We've been talking about it, but as I said, that you know, sometimes there are financial constraints and commercial constraints because of which the industry have not been able to come together to put a unilateral measurement system, which is long overdue. And I think that the day that comes in as well, I'm not saying we'll compete with digital, but at least we'll be able to. Today, if we say that, you know, if Red FM has a cumulative listenership of 45 million listeners, I can quantify that with proper data.
Right.
Today, we have a macro level data, but these are all self-commissioned researches. They're not industry research. So all of us say, we all claim to be number one, we all say we're market leaders, etc. Within these self-commissioned researches, unfortunately, and then we take away those cutaways where we're all number one, and then we use that as marketing strategies. But all I'm saying is that industry research is required, and the industry has been struggling to do that. And we're very clear, we don't want a manual research. It has to be a digital research.
Right.
So while a manual research may still be a cheaper module, We do feel that it might have biases. So perhaps probably then going towards a digital research, which may be unbiased.
Absolutely. So tell me, Nisha, we're talking about now about TSL, okay? Time spent listening. And it's always sort of languished in the 5s and the 6 minutes and the 7 minutes as far as I remember. And this is happening now. Whereas quite some time back, not connected with the TSL, but my friend L.V. Krishnan, who used to do and who is with RAM and everything else out there with Nielsen, he told me many years ago, okay, that while television is the number one medium in prime time and perhaps in the morning also, but as soon as early morning is over, it is radio that doesn't, or those days did not give only frequency, it actually gave reach across the country to marketers. And how do we come back with, you know, higher TSL for radio? That's the most important thing. What do you think? Because ultimately, like you said, there are so many stations, 9 all sounding nearly similar. So how do you increase TSL across, you know, stations on uniqueness of content, or what is it? What would you recommend?
So I clearly think the TSL is a content game, Pavan.
Yeah.
And with us, we've been focusing a lot on innovative content, and some of the examples at Red FM that has been taken, for instance, is the audio film project with Vikram Bhatt. That is absolute storytelling, and it is not one story a day, it is one story through 2 weeks,
right,
which Vikram Bhatt narrates, and they're very gripping stories, and it talks about the dark side. It increases TSL. We've done an initiative called India at 75, which talks about the 75 epic moments that has changed the shape the country completely. And whether it is in sports, whether it is in railways, whether it is in economic laws, whether it's in agriculture. So we're taking those very important stories. Now that's, again, that is storytelling. So Arjun Praveen from Calcutta does a fabulous job of narrating those stories, and subsequently we interview an expert from that field, and that entire episode comes to about a good half an hour. So again, there is increase as far as listenership is concerned, because it's knowledge, it's information, and people start listening to it. So similarly, I'm just saying, one of the collaborative effort that we did with the Muthoot Group is the Suneri Soch. We recently concluded that, and last year we had Amitabh Bachchan, who was narrating the stories. This year we had Madhuri Dixit, and what an excellent campaign of talking about people from different parts of the country who benefited from Muthoot, but very powerful, inspiring stories.
Oh yes, Nisha, I'd got the campaigns, and I think the Muthoot Finance Suneri Soch campaign really came alive on 93.5 Red FM. These were inspiring real-life stories of courage, hope and positivity, and the narration for radio by Amitabh Bachchan himself really took the narratives and inspiration to another level. Yeah, there were stories of common men and women who took a gold loan from Muthoot Finance, you know, to achieve their dreams and move ahead in life, but you know, It was a great and memorable promotion of business objectives, I mean, which is what brands will come and advertise and, you know, do creative content campaigns on radio. And 93.5 at FM did a really good job. And this was with relevant and seamlessly native content marketing, which was done creatively. So I'm going to play out, Nisha, the story of Shaila Varshney from Rudrapur, Uttarakhand, who stood firm, took a gold loan, started her own business of a garment shop, of which she now owns two and employs 10 persons also. So, you know, let me just play it for our listeners, okay? Here it is.
कई लोग मानते हैं कि भाग्य की रेखाएं इंसान का भविष्य तय करती हैं, मगर होते हैं कुछ लोग जिन्हें अपने हाथ की रेखाओं पर नहीं बल्कि अपने मेहनत कश हाथों पर भरोसा होता है। शैला वार्ष्णेय भी ऐसा ही जज्बा रखती थी और उन्हें हिम्मत देते थे कुछ ऐसे विचार। वो मनुज ही क्या जीवट न हो, इच्छा शक्ति कर्मठ न हो, पौरुष न हो, पुरुषार्थ न हो, संकल्प न हो, सिद्धार्थ न हो, जीवन पथ पर थमते झुकते, कांटों में भी बढ़ते रुकते, जीवन और मरण में स्वर्ग छिपा, हर धूल के कण में स्वर्ण छिपा, तू धूल के कण सा तपता जा, कुंदन की तरह चमकता जा। सभी श्रोताओं को मेरा नमस्कार, मैं हूं अमिताभ बच्चन और आप सुन रहे हैं मुथूट फाइनेंस सुनहरी सोच, साहस और सफलता की सच्ची कहानियां। ये कहानी है रुद्रपुर के साधारण से मध्यम वर्ग के परिवार में पली बड़ी शैला वार्ष्णेय की। अपना व्यापार आरंभ करना सबका सपना होता है। शैला जी भी अपना काम शुरू करना चाहती थी, पर पैसे की कमी ने हमेशा उन्हें निराशा में झोंके रखा। उन्होंने दोस्तों रिश्तेदारों सबसे मदद मांगी।
यार, 3-4 महीने के लिए ही चाहिए पैसे, एक बार काम स्टार्ट हो गया तो।
शैला, तुझे तो मालूम है घर का खर्चा, बच्चों की फीस, सैलरी पूरी नहीं पड़ती यार, नहीं हो पाएगा।
शैला की कोशिश में कमी नहीं थी, पर अब शैला कहीं टूटने सी लगी थी।
लगता है किस्मत साथ ना दे तो सपने भी नींद के साथ टूट जाते हैं।
कहते हैं ना, सुनहरी सोच बंद किस्मत के ताले को भी खोल सकती है। एक दिन शैला की नजर इंटरनेट पर एक विज्ञापन पर पड़ी।
मुथूट फाइनेंस से गोल्ड लोन सिर्फ एक विजिट में, और वो भी सिर्फ 1% ब्याज दर पर।
शैला जी ने कभी ध्यान ही नहीं दिया था कि जिस सोने को साल दर साल वो सिर्फ शगुन समझ के संजोती रही, वही उनके सपनों की नींव रख सकता है। रखे हुए लोहे में जंग लगता है, पर शैला जी समझ चुकी थी कि घर पे रखे हुए सोने को उपयोग न करना उसे जंग लगाने जैसा ही है। कुछ महीनों पहले शैला जी ने मुथूट फाइनेंस से गोल्ड लोन लिया और कपड़ों का व्यापार शुरू किया। सोने के लोन पर शैला जी के परिश्रम का सुहागा कुछ ऐसा रहा कि काम में दिन दुगनी रात चौगुनी तरक्की मिली। शैला ने और हिम्मत दिखाते हुए 4 लाख का गोल्ड लोन और ले लिया। आज शैला जी की खुद की 2 गारमेंट शॉप्स हैं और साथ ही साथ खुद का होलसेल बिजनेस भी है, जिसमें शैला ने 10 लोगों को रोजगार देकर उन्हें अपनी सुनहरी सोच का हिस्सा बनाया है। आप भी मुथूट फाइनेंस से गोल्ड लोन लेकर लाइफ में आगे बढ़िए, और याद न रहे तो डायरी में लिख लीजिए, गोल्ड लोन इज गुड। लाइफ में आगे बढ़ने के लिए मुथूट फाइनेंस टोल फ्री नंबर 1-800-313-1212 पर कॉल कीजिए।
निराशा के अंधेरे में आशा की पहली किरण है सुनहरी सोच। परछाई साथ छोड़े तो आत्मविश्वास का दर्पण है सुनहरी सोच। मुश्किलों से घबराए दिलों में हिम्मत की धड़कन है सुनहरी सोच। जो कभी हार न माने ऐसा जीवन है सुनहरी सोच।
सुनहरी सोच जी लो, आप पंख लगा ले रे।
That really was beautifully written and very, very well conceived and created, and the way you pushed it out on Red FM was extremely effective. So, yeah, it's not just about the music, is it?
So, it's not just about the music. Huh. It's also about content. It's also about innovative content. And that is something that Red FM has been aiming to do consistently.
Hmm.
I think that's been working for us.
Hmm.
And we just need to be more consistent with that effort.
Sure.
And our aim is to do that. And that's what I keep telling the team. So these initiatives are there. And I think the other way to also increase TSL is to also provide good music.
Yeah.
Also new music. There are a lot of artists out there who never get heard or spoken, but they create brilliant music. Radio has the power to make people listen to that and introduce that new music to the listener. And I think these are, there's not just one answer. There's not one answer to increase TNL. A combination, a collective effort of multiple ideas like these will increase TSL. Have no doubt on that. And the only thing I would probably want to leave this question with is to say that it's a myth that, you know, you have highest listenership only during prime time hours.
Mm.
It's not so at all. There is no prime time on radio.
Mm.
That's my belief. You can be an afternoon jock, you can be a night jock, you can be a mid-afternoon jock and be doing phenomenally well and have a huge listenership as well. Unlike television, we should not approach radio as television.
Mm.
It is a myth that only people who drive in the morning listen to the radio. Radio, maximum listenership of radio happens at home.
Okay.
And this whole conversation that there is a prime time and a non-prime time, a lot of brands do it. We go out and we try and convince, but sometimes a lot of brands don't really understand what we're trying to say.
Mm.
Radio is about frequency.
Mm.
You create superstars and super music and super hit music through frequency.
Yeah.
It's not about prime time at all.
Yeah.
Go to Indore, go to Jabalpur, go to any of these cities, go to Rajkot, go anywhere.
Mm.
Do we really think that there is a prime time and an evening time and a drive time of 5 to 9 there? No, not at all.
Mm.
Some of my biggest RJs and most popular RJs from all of these towns have been doing non-prime time shows and was doing so well that they put them on the morning show or the evening show. So their growth started and their popularity started with non-prime time, which clearly is an indication that radio doesn't have something called a prime time and a non-prime time. We made it into one time band, which is actually not required.
Mm. And tell me about how you all empower talent at Red FM. Is there a continuous learning process? Do you look at your RJs and all the other people, and how do you actually have milestones for them on the continuous learning thing? Because if you look at, you know, how during the lockdown what happened and things went digital, people worked from home, you all were amongst the first to actually help the ROI tell everybody else that we're going to keep continuing this, and everybody started working from home. So there must have been different orientations coming in, different ways of looking at stuff, creating content, trying to sell, all of those aspects, you know. So there has to be some continuous learning scheme or program or whatever that happens at Red FM. But what is the learning culture like and workplace culture like out there on the days when you all are at work, lockdown permitting and, you know, opening up permitting?
I think it's training on the job. There's a lot of focus given on training.
Hmm.
And the RJs are constantly pushed to come up with innovative, challenging ideas.
Hmm.
Sometimes the most difficult idea, which may look like a really mad idea, which you would at first would think, I think it's a bad idea, let's just drop it, is perhaps the best idea in the room, because it requires much more effort and it requires that much more planning.
Mm.
And it also has the luxury of a lot of other brands not doing it because it takes that much effort. So sometimes we land up doing that.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of focus as far as artists are concerned, yes, to constantly innovate. And content does get jaded if done repeatedly.
Yeah.
So exposure to what is happening internationally, training programs, and also to groom the RJs. And when I say groom, I'm not talking about appearances at all. I'm talking about mental grooming towards digital as well. And I have very clearly mentioned that, you know, today a radio jockey has built his or her popularity through digital as well a lot more.
True.
So to ignore digital would be a disaster. So we should look at both on-air and digital to put the right kind of content on digital. How to project themselves, because today any listener would want to see their RJ on digital, on social media as well. So how to conduct yourself on social media as well, because they're also influencers too. They're digital influencers as well, besides being only radio jockeys. So I think that ecosystem is a continuous ecosystem, a continuous flow of work, Pavan. I mean, it's not that, you know, we do a two-week program of training and then we move out and then, you know, go back to business. No, I think it's sometimes, a lot of times it's on the job. And radio, because it's such a fragmented industry in itself, getting so many RJs at one go and trying to give this long lecture will not work. They have to learn on the job. And radio continues to be out there, outside the studios, not really inside boardrooms, with MBAs talking to MBAs. It has to be out there shaking hands and kissing babies and knowing your audience, because that's where real content happens.
Lovely, lovely. Well said. Really. Okay, Nisha, you mentioned influencer marketing as one of the sources of revenue for you. So who are the influencers you use for marketing brands? Are they your RJs who've become big? And as employees, obviously, whatever they do is for the entity which is giving them this great name and fame. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so I think the RJs are very, very popular in their own cities.
Yes.
And they're influencers in their own right. Some of them may be skewed a little more to certain causes or certain line of industry. Some could be more focused on fashion. Some could be more focused on social issues. Whatever that issue is, but they've all become influencers. And we do use this as an opportunity for the company to collectively look at a revenue model using influencers.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And influencer marketing is a very key category in itself. And if you look at any of the reports that is coming, industry reports that is coming, influencer marketing is a key category to be focused upon, because that is also growing in leaps and bounds.
Oh yeah, one of your influencers, I freak out on all her stuff that she does on social, is Karishma from Indore. She's absolutely an amazing bundle of talent.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so Nisha, I just want you to now tell me, somebody comes to you and says, Nisha ma'am, I want to work for you, right? Some youngster comes. Obviously, if HR has sent him or her to you, then the person has the qualifications. What are you looking for in a young guy or a girl who wants to come and work with you? What are the qualities?
A quality that I find very rare these days, Pavan, hard work. You know, everybody wants to make quick money. Everybody wants to be famous very quickly. They don't want to work hard. They don't want to listen to critical feedback. And they just, you know, this sometimes, unfortunately, social media and a lot of exposure to multiple platforms make everybody feel they are heroes. And it's quite true. I'm not denying that. But I'm just saying, to become another Malishka, to become another Devaki, to become another Ronak, there is a lot of hard work and a huge team that is behind them to, you know, work on them and to work on their content to make things work. And I think that requires a lot of hard work. So anybody to begin with who has the patience to work hard and be at it and to be consistent is one of my very first thumb rule if they come directly to me.
Okay.
Other than that, I think the sense of curiosity. See, radio is no rocket science. Everybody can understand it. I don't think I don't want to even give jargons and say how wonderful the industry is and you know, and make it very complicated. It's a very simple, beautiful, effective industry. And for that, we need people who are hardworking. One, two, who are curious enough to ask questions. If you want to be in the radio, not every job is that of an RJ, right? There is a music manager behind, there are producers behind, there is a big number of sales team behind. marketing team behind, PR team behind. It's a proper industry in itself.
Mm.
Just be curious enough to ask the right questions, to learn more. If you're hungry to learn more, I think these are the two qualities that I want. Rest will teach them. I don't have any concern there. But be curious to learn more and be willing to work hard. And something that I curiosity is something I find, definitely I find in the youth. But hard work is something which I find a little rare. It's always about quick bucks, quick money, becoming famous very quickly, but the downfall is equally quick, you know.
Right.
So we've seen it happen, and I think that's the only thing that they should be wary of. Yes, if I were to do that interview, these are my two quick questions that I'd be wanting to observe.
Right. Don't feel entitled. Come and be willing to work hard. Absolutely.
Because then the only reason I'm saying that is because when you work hard, what you're laying is, and I'm not saying this just as if I'm giving gyan or preaching, but what I'm trying to say is that when you actually work hard, you know exactly what it takes to get certain jobs done.
Yeah.
So as you rise up the ladder, your foundation is right. You've learned everything. You know, so you know everything. So nobody can make a fool of you as you grow up the ladder. I say it from experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Respect that completely. So Nisha, there's one thing I see you do very frequently and I absolutely love it. And I think all the people who are your friends and your fans, I dare say, on Insta, you're there. In all your beautiful saris and looking absolutely resplendent. So that is something please continue doing. But otherwise, what are your favorite pastimes? Tell me, what is it that keeps your mind sort of engaged? You like to read, you like to get into music. What is it? One passion.
This is very difficult to ask for one passion, Pawan. I love dabbling with a lot of things.
Yeah.
I love designing jewelry. I love designing saris if possible.
Okay.
Right. Handloom is something, and the textile industry and the Indian textile and made in India space of Indian textiles is something I truly, truly love. So I keep trying to educate myself on that. I'm a learned classical music singer, Carnatic classical largely. I come from Kerala, so there's a lot of music in the house, and I'm trying to attempt to learn, but there's no time. So I start my classes, then I stop, and I start and I stop. But yes. That is another thing. Books, book reading, poetry, a lot of that. Animals, spending a lot of time with animals, dogs in particular for sure, but also animals and things like that. So if you ask me, I think I have a varied set of interests. It's just that day I choose to do one of those hobbies if I do get time. But yes, I'm also a lot into yoga and meditation. And I don't know if that's a hobby, but I think it's a necessity. I think it's something we should all do.
Yep.
But yes, I nutrition and fitness is something that we all have as a hobby. We call it a hobby, but I don't think it really is. It's become a part of our life at home as well, to everyone in the family. It's mandatory.
Okay, Nisha, one request, and you can't say no to this, okay?
As long as you don't ask me to sing. So I
damn,
don't.
Damn, you read my mind. Just a line or
no,
two.
No, come on, Nisha. Not at all. Some other time.
All right. Some other time. I respect that. Well, Nisha, is there anything else that I should have asked you that you might want to speak about for the industry, for whatever is dear to you as far as you as a professional in the business is concerned?
I think I pretty much said everything. If I were to just sum up everything that I just said, Pawan, is just to say, and I don't say this purely as a radio evangelist or a maverick or as the COO for NFM. I say this in all earnest, that this medium is a very powerful medium. It is wrong to say that it should be written off and there is no future to radio. All it requires is a little bit of hand-holding at the policymakers' level. Rest, I think, the industry is aggressive enough to fight back and make it a level playing field. And there is brilliant talent in this industry. It brings in a lot of regional talent to the national fore. It brings in great music, brings in surprise element, and it brings in impact. And it reaches the last mile. So, and next year when it completes 100 years of radio in the country, cumulatively, we should be celebrating radio, not questioning it. I think think that's the only point I want to leave this conversation.
Well said, well said. And one little phrase that I would add here is not just the support of the policymakers at the government level, but also unity amongst all the radio players in India. That's really important. Yeah.
I think you can see me smile right now. I won't say much.
Wonderful, Nisha. I really enjoyed the conversation, all the laughter and the wonderful spirit and all the insights that you got in. You know, there was so much of really valuable inputs here coming from your wonderful experience, all your achievements in radio. And I think every policymaker should listen to this episode. And I promise that I am on my own going to send this episode to every member of the Lok Sabha. I promise you that. In fact, as an editor in the media space last year, there was a wonderful piece that even Uday Chawla wrote from the AROI as in his capacity as Secretary General. And I had sent it to each and every member of parliament saying, I'm just saying this to you as somebody who's concerned for the space. I know that resources are scarce, but you know, there is nobody else who's better qualified to help this wonderful industry, this wonderful subsector of media.
But Pawan, I must compliment you on the number of years that I've known you. You've always been a supporter of radio, as somebody who's believed in the power of radio, and you've done every bit in your capacity to bring radio to the forefront. And I must compliment you on that. And I hope you continue to do that. And it's incredible for the kind of support that you show for radio. Thank you so much.
Wow, that's high praise indeed, coming from someone I admire and I like so much. So thank you very much, Nisha. But overall, what do you think about this conversation that we've had?
You should have more such conversations and narratives. I think it's important to educate, to find its problems will continue to persist. And there will be newer problems and new ecosystems that have constantly been created. Some unforeseen, some seen. But there are ways and means to collectively address those issues. And the only way to educate people about it is to have these kind of narratives. Thank you for doing the Master's Voice podcast. I think it's a great podcast itself. And I think you bring in a lot of industry views and perspectives from leaders and from the industry. It's really heartening to hear some of them.
Coming from somebody who believes in podcasts and is deploying them so brilliantly on Red FM herself, this is high praise indeed.
I listen to some of it during my own yoga sessions and stuff. So I can say for sure that it's a good thing. So yeah.
Super, great. Super, super.
So Pawan, before we wind up, tell me about this new initiative about RJs. Be like, I know you've already featured some of the RJs of Red FM already. So what is the objective of this?
The objective is, I think the RJs are the most important, they are the faces and voices and the sunshine, which is actually reaching the listeners of radio, right? FM radio. FM radio is a medium in which if you can survive in FM, you can thrive anywhere else. It's difficult, it's demanding, but it's really wonderfully emotionally connecting, right? And it's the RJs who work very hard along with their teams behind them. So I just thought that, you know, there's a wonderful RJ in Indore called Karishma. There's a wonderful RJ in Delhi called Ronak. There's another one in Chandigarh from my FM called Sonali. And there are so many others. There's Disha Oberoi down south. There is Archana Pania in Mumbai. So I'm just saying there are so many of them. But they are well known in their cities, however big or however small. I just want to make sure that people who love radio will gravitate to this. I want them to be able to get their little place in the sun. And I want radio lovers to see and know about them, hear them, okay, and even marketers and brands, because we are full of great talent. And I think the RJs are the most hardworking people, and FM radio does sort of need to doff its hat to them. That's why.
I hope they don't hear this, huh? I seriously hope they don't hear it, because this is the time for increments, and they're going to come and see. Even Pawan has said that they're the most hardworking community, and therefore they need higher increments. I just hope they don't hear this. This part of the podcast. But great initiative, Pawan. It's a good initiative. It's good. It's long overdue, but I'm glad you did it. Somebody had to do it, and I'm glad it's you.
Wow, thank you so much. In fact, many of them are giving us little videos saying, hey, I'm very happy that this is happening and all of that. So, good, great. I'm also looking forward to featuring Ronak and so many other brilliant people that you mentioned from Red FM and across the other networks. Thank you so much, Nisha. So, thank you for being on the episode, Nisha. And thanks also to Priyanka Kumar once again. What a wonderfully patient person. So, just like you. You know, they all get it from you. Don't take no for an answer.
She's curious and she's hardworking. So I
absolutely.
Like both
the It was my good day, Nisha. And I got to see you after such a long time, unfortunately. But great to have seen you. Love the smile.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure being here and having this conversation with you. It was lovely talking to you. Thank you.
Nisha Narayanan, prominent name in the radio industry, currently COO and director at Red FM and Magic FM, was my distinguished guest on this episode of the Master's Voice podcast series on MediaBrief.com. I enjoyed the conversation, found it full of great insights, and I'm sure that every professional, every student of media marketing, advertising, and especially radio, everyone across the board would have enjoyed and benefited from all the insights, from her wonderful, rich experience, and all the things that she has accomplished so far. Till we meet again in the next episode of the Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. This is your host and friend, Pavan R. Chawla, saying thank you for tuning in. Take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye.